It's a great kavod to have been asked by Chazak and by Landis College for Men to come to speak tonight on a very, very painful night in Klal Yisrael. It's a great kavod to speak in the presence of Mashgiach Shlita, Rabbi Bamberger, who spoke so beautifully. Last week was Parshas Vayera. We learned about the Akedah. Nobody could imagine, while in all shuls throughout the world, when we were reading about the Akedah, that Klal Yisrael Nebuch gave 11 karbonos as the Akedah in Pittsburgh. Those 11 karbonos, as the Rav mentioned, they died al Kiddush Hashem. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has said many, many times that any place that Yidden were killed, al Kiddush Hashem, that becomes a Mokum Kodesh. The person is allowed to daven at that place, and that's why many times when we go to the concentration camps, as my dear friend Ari Sharf and I have taken many, many people together there, it's a place of tefillah. It's a place where Yidden died, al Kiddush Hashem. But something else struck me. On the night of Pesach, we sing a song, Echad Mi Yodea. And we go through all the numbers. 8 is Bris Milah, 9 are the months of pregnancy, 10 are the Yeseres HaDibrais. But this week it struck me. Echad Osom Mi Yodea. What does 11 represent? And Agoda tells us 11 represents the 11 stars. This week, we have a new meaning of those 11 stars. Those 11 stars in Pittsburgh who gave their lives al Kiddush Hashem will remain stars and heroes forever. The 11 stars, Joyce Feinberg, Richard Gottfried, Rose Malinger, Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz, Cecil Rosenthal, David Rosenthal, Bernie Simon, Bernice Simon, Sylvan Simon, Daniel Stein, Melvin Wax, and Irvin Younger. I didn't know any of them, but I read about them. And I want to tell you something about some of them that I just couldn't get over, how they really were stars, even though that we didn't know that until then. There's a man by the name of Melvin Wax. They wrote about him in the Wall Street Journal. They wrote about him that he was the first one every Friday night to be in shul, and he was the first one every Shabbos morning to be in shul. When I read about him, I thought of a Gemara. The Gemara says in Megillah Chav Zayin Amud Beis, they asked more than 20 different Amoraim, Bama Harachta Yomim, how did you live long? And you know what one of them said? Rav Preda said, Miyomai, all my days, like Yidmani Adam LeBeis HaMedrash. Nobody ever came to shul before I did. He was there every time first. Melvin Wax lived to be 87 years old. But Maharachta Yomim, maybe we could learn from Mr. Wax that we should be from the first, certainly from the Asar Rishonim. Every time of Tefillah, we should be among the first 10. We should be there first. There were two brothers, again, written about, Cecil and David Rosenthal. I know people in Pittsburgh, the Canal family, who know these brothers. These brothers were inseparable. They were very, very special. They were developmentally disabled. But I want to read you what people said about them. They had open hearts, playful personalities, and their personalities outshone their intellectual disabilities. But you know what they did? Any person who walked into shul, these brothers, they greeted them warmly, b'seiv upon him yofais, and they brought them a sitter. When was the last time that any of us did that? Somebody walks into shul, the first thing you do, do we go over to them? We're all busy davening. These brothers, they went over. They were makabel a person, b'seiv upon him yofais. They made sure they had a sitter. There was a woman, Rose Malinger. She came to Shul Nebuch for the last time. She was 97 years old. 97. Think about that. How many people of that age would even bother to go to shul? They have 100 different excuses not to go to shul. But she was there, Nebuch, with her daughter. She was killed. Her daughter is injured. As Rabbi Bamberger mentioned, she should have her for Shlema. But the man that I can't get over is Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz. And again, I want to quote to you from today's Wall Street Journal. He was remembered for his bow ties, his habit of riding a bicycle to work, seemingly constant smile, and listen to this. He had an enthusiasm for a Saturday morning Torah study discussion, which some believed was the high point of his week. Here's a doctor who went out of his way to help people, a family doctor, a family practitioner, and they're saying that the high point of his week was a Torah study group. And you know something? He was with that study group when the shooting broke out shortly before 10 a.m. And some of his friends say that because he ran out of that shir when he heard the gunshots and he realized that some of his fellow members might be wounded, he went out and risked his life. And that was the last shir he ever heard. Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz, Yehi Zichroi Baruch, together with all the other people that lost their lives on Kiddush Hashem. This past Shabbos was a Shabbos of unity. This past Shabbos, over 1 million people all around the world kept Shabbos. Many, many of them for the first time. I've had the great zchus for the last number of years to be at a place called the Base. Rabbi Yonason Shippel is a tremendous person, a great Rebbe, a wonderful person. He runs the JSS program at Yeshiva University. He had Talmidim this Shabbos in the Base. Each of these Talmidim who are keeping Shabbos Kamat for the first time. They came from places, I told Rabbi Shippel, I need a map, I never heard of these places. One came from Canary Islands, and he told us what made him come to become Frum. This was his first Shabbos that he was keeping. Another one was from Salvador. Another one was from Swaziland. Another one from the southern part of Italy. Another person, an Israeli kid, who was a champion in beach tennis. But this was his first Shabbos that he was keeping. And there was another one from the Soviet Union. The Shabbos was so elevating. It was so remarkable. There was such achdus. And then before Ma'ariv, Rabbi Shippel said he had a terrible announcement to make. Nobody could imagine. What is he going to talk about? What could be so terrible? This was a great Shabbos that he said so many times. 1 million people all over the world were keeping Shabbos. And then when the broken heart announced before Ma'ariv that 11 people were killed in Pittsburgh and that our Ma'ariv cannot be a regular Motzei Shabbos Ma'ariv. And as great as the Shabbos was, it was shattered. As Rabbi Bamberger mentioned, the illusion of security in America was shattered. And of course the Ma'ariv was with cries. And I remember thinking, this is Pittsburgh. What's it got to do with us in New York? And of course the famous pshat in the Gemara that Rabbi Meir Shapiro once said, the Gemara is in Yevamah Samach Aleph, Omer Aleph, and the Gemara brings a pasuk in Yecheskel, V'aten tzoyni, you are my sheep, tzoyin marisi, the sheep of my pasture, Odom Atem. Klal Yisrael is like one person. What difference is it if it happened in Pittsburgh? It happened to all of us. As the Rav mentioned, those bullets, that Russia who should have a Misa Mishuna, that Russia who was saved by Jewish doctors because Jewish doctors do what they have to do, those bullets were meant for every Jew. As was mentioned, he said all Jews should die. But Odom Atem, we're all one person. If something happens in Melbourne, Australia, it makes no difference. We would feel that pain. Something happens in a highway in Eretz Yisrael, we feel that pain. If it happens in Paris, if it happens in Mauro, it doesn't make a difference. We're all one person. And if we're all one person, and we feel that terrible, terrible pain of what happened, how do we react? How does a Yid react? And the first thing, of course, is to cry out with tefillah. And that's what we did tonight, the two Choshev Rabbanim, who said Tilim tonight. That's what the Pasuk tells us. Keli El Hashem Ezok. Our voice cries out to Hashem. Keli El Hashem Eschanon. We beg for Hashem to help us and to listen to us. But the Rambam says something else about reaction. And it's frightening what he tells us. But this is the way that we have to respond. He writes, Im lo yizaku, if a person doesn't cry out, hey, let's face it, there's anti-Semitism all over. They're killing people in grocery stores in France. They're killing people in Belgium, in England. So many people are running away from France because of all the Arabs that are there and the rampant anti-Semitism that's all over. So if a person says, hey, listen, you know, these things are going to happen. Oy, chas v'shalom. And people say, v'tzorozu, nikra, nikris, that it just happens. Harei zederach achzorias. That's the most cruel thing that we could do. And just say these things happen. V'geremes lahem lidobek b'masei amoroyim. And it just makes us continue. Tonight is not a response to Pittsburgh. Tonight is a response to Hashem. That's the one that has to be responded to. Pittsburgh was just the metzias. Pittsburgh was just the place that it happened. But we're not responding to Pittsburgh. We're responding to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam who gave us such pain. And we have to understand, why did he give us this pain? And as the Rav mentioned, how can we know if there's no Navi? And that's what we daven for every day. Ashiva Shevteinu Kvar Rishayna V'yatzeinu Kvar Tchila. We want to have the Nevi'im. We want to have those people who could give us advice that we know when they say something, that's exactly what Hashem meant. But our door, nobody's going to say that they are a Novi. Nobody would dare say why it happened. And if anybody got up to say why it happened, he's foolish. How could anybody know? We can only guess. Do we know? Rabbis Machshava is Belevish Vatzas Hashem Yisakum. Nobody can say why it happened. We can only surmise. We could guess. We could try to figure out. But each one, Lev Yodea, Moras Nafshe, we all have to improve. Hashem gave us tsar. And Hashem doesn't give us tsar without a reason. So the question is, how to react? So one of the things that occurred to me is a pasuk. It's not my idea. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. And the pasuk tells us, Utztaka Tatsamimavas. If we don't want these things to happen, perhaps, what we have to think about, what is our relationship to Tztaka? Are we giving Tztaka? Do we have the right concept of what we're doing with our money? I want to tell you a great story, then I'll tell you a Sefer Chassidim that maybe will change us. There was a great story. The Kapishin Tzerevi lived in Borough Park. And he once came to one of the Balabatim in Diamond District, who davened in a shul. And the fellow didn't realize that the Rebbe was coming to his office. The secretary buzzes him. And she says, I just can't believe it. I think your rabbi is here. The one that you always talk about. The one you have his picture on the wall. I think he's here. And he comes running out. And he sees the Rebbe is there. He just saw the Rebbe in the minyan in the morning. And he says, Rebbe, what are you doing here? Why did you come here? If you wanted, I could have come to you. And the Rebbe said, no, I need you. That's why I came to you. He said, Rebbe, come inside, please. And he's shaking. You can't believe that the Kapishin Tzer Rebbe had the tircha, made the tircha to come from Borough Park to Manhattan. And he says, Rebbe, what could I do for you? And the Rebbe says, I'm collecting money for someone. He's very poor. He's not well. He has a lot of bills. He can't pay the tuition. And the family is just breaking up because of the financial problems. He says, Rebbe, just tell me. Tell me who I should make out the check. Whatever amount you tell me, I'll give it. He said, I can't tell you the amount. You decide. He says, okay, Rebbe, I'll decide. But just tell me, who should I make out the check? And the Rebbe waits a minute, and he says, make it out to your brother. And the guy came out chalished. And that's why the Rebbe made this special trip. Because he was trying to show him that many people, including that fellow, many times will help the whole world. But when it comes to helping your own family, you forget about them. Because most people who help their families, they don't get honor and recognition. Most of the time, the people will have a tiny, where you been all these years? Well, how come you don't give me enough? Don't you realize how I'm suffering? Now, I want to read you a Sefer Chassidim. Simen Shin Chav Dalad. Oshir Echad. There was a man, a wealthy man. Hayimachalik Mois Laniyim Litztoka. He used to give a lot of people tztoka, this rich guy. Vayenoisim Biyada Gabai. And he used to give it to the Gabbai, give out to all the poor people. He had a brother that was poor, and he had relatives that were poor. The Chocham said to him, Rav David Cohen, my Rebbe, said, anytime it says, that means it was Rav Yudah Chosin himself. It's a Himu Gishrei. Not Stoka, it's a Tzaoka. How dare you give other people when your sister can't send her kids to camp? Or your sister can't pay the grocery bill? Or your brother-in-law can't pay tuition? If we understand Mishlei, Tzedakah Tatzim Limavas, and that's a possibility because after all, that's what happened. Let's think about our tzedakah. Let's think about the Maisa that we give. Where's the priority? Your priority is family. Think about that. Maybe we never thought about it that way. Because like I say, you never get recognition. But it's not stalker when you're giving to others. It's tzaaka. That's what Rabbi Yonah Chosid is telling us. And if that's the case, we have to give it some serious thought. I'll tell you something amazing. In this week's Parsha, take a look at it. When you get home, you won't believe it. Rav Pam always used to quote the Klal Yoker in this week's Parsha. The Pasuk tells us that Avram Avinu sent Eliezer to get a shidduch for his son Yitzchak. And why did he trust Eliezer? The Pasuk tells us in Chav Dalet Beis, Vayemer Avram el Avdei Zakan Beisai HaMoshel B'chol HaSheloi. He ruled over everything that he had. The simple meaning is that Eliezer ruled over the money. He was the financial director of Avram's funds. Says Rav Pam, take a look at the Klal Yoker. That's not what it means. The Klal Yoker says, HaMoshel B'chol HaSheloi. Eliezer ruled over everything that he had. He controlled his money. Not that his money controlled him. He was in control of his money. He didn't do crazy things. He wasn't going to go for a shidduch just because it had money. That's why Avram trusted him. Because he knew money is important, but that's not the priority in life. And perhaps tonight we have to think about it. Of course we all need money, we need food, we need clothes, but that's not the priority. Do you keep an exact cheshbon of tzedakah and maisa that we give? Most people, you ask them, yeah, I give plenty of tzedakah. Yeah, I give plenty of mice. It's not true. Make a cheshbon of everything that you earn. Keep a notebook. And keep a ledger. And you'll see that maybe you're very, very far behind. And of course, you could give in advance. That's a whole different topic. It's not for now. So that when you earn money, if you gave more than you were supposed to give, you could take it off from mice. It's a whole discussion, but it's not for now. But the main thing is that we should have a cheshbon of money. I'll tell you a great story that happened in Eretz Yisrael. You'll see a person who has a cheshbon, who understands what money is all about and how you're supposed to deal with money. This story happened a few months ago in a grocery store, in a huge supermarket in a place called Ramat HaSharon in Eretz Yisrael. It's on a coastal area. It was Friday afternoon, and there were terrible, terrible hurricanes and windstorms, and people were shopping quickly. They wanted to get home. There were over 100 people in this supermarket when this happened. All of a sudden, there was tremendous lightning storm, and there was a power outage. Now, the store, it's the Yohananov chain supermarket, they had generators. So the generators took care of all the freezers. So none of the food spoiled, but it didn't take care of the cash register. Cash register was on electronics. Now the power outage was out. So now what are you going to do? You got 100 people buying food for Shabbos, but they can't go to the cash register because it's not working. There's a power outage. So it was a fellow, Tzvi Abraham, who was the branch manager, So he had two choices. One choice was to say, listen, everybody stay around. They'll probably put the power on and then you'll be able to get a cheshbon of what you owe, then you'll go home. Or he could tell everybody, listen, leave everything here, go to other stores. Maybe they don't have a power outage in the cash register. You'll get what you need for Shabbos. He knew that's not good either because everybody had to get home for Shabbos. Where are they going to go to get other places? And what if there is a power outage there? But he had a third idea. And the third idea was a great idea, but he couldn't implement it himself. He had to call the store owner. He calls the store owner on a cell phone and he tells him the idea and the guy says, do it. The guy makes an announcement. Listen to this, Mika Amcha Yisrael. He says, every single person here that has to get home for Shabbos, take your food, just keep a cheshbon, I trust you, go home right now so you get home for Shabbos. And people looked at him. We're not paying? You don't pay, I trust you that you'll all come back. Over 100 people went out of the store with stuff. Some left their name at the cash register. He pushed everybody out. People at home wrote down everything that they had, or they took a picture of the barcode. There was one lady who was written up. She absolutely refused to leave. She said, how could I cook meat for Shabbos? I didn't pay for it. He said, it makes no difference. Consider it as a gift till after Shabbos. Then you owe us the money. By Sunday, 70% of the people came back. By the next Friday, every single person who had taken food came back. That's a guy who understands what money is. That's somebody who rules over his money. If Tztoka Tatzel Mimovis, we have to know that we have a tremendous achrayus. All of us in America are blessed with a certain amount of funds, some more, some less, but we have to be in control of it. That's Hamoisha B'chol HaSheloi. Let's talk about another topic. And again, not my idea, Chas V'Sholem, because who are we to say why things happen? But Rav Palms brings this famous Gemara, Mayasa Odom. They asked Rabbi Lezen, Sanhedrin, Tzarechesem, and Beis, Mayasa Odom, Yinotza, Mechevle, Shal Mashiach, Yasek B'Toyrog, Gemilas Chasodim. As Rav Bamberger mentioned, there's no end to the Shmira that a person has when he learns Torah. So, we're in, obviously, everybody says we're in the Yimei HaMashiach. And if that's the case, and the Gemara is telling us, Mayasa Odom V'Yinotza Mechev LeMashiach, can there be worse pain than seeing older people just slaughtered for no reason? We each have to improve our Torah and our Gemilas Chasodim. How do we improve our Torah? Does everybody learn Chumash and Rashi? Every Parsha? Does everybody learn halacha? When was the last time you picked up a Tanakh? We're all learning Gemara, which is very important. But every Talmud Chacham knew Tanakh and knows Tanakh. Maybe because of these 11 stars, we have to start learning Sifrei Tanakh. Maybe we should learn Mishneh Berurah with Dirshu. I can just tell you that when I learn Dirshu, it's like Olam Hazeh. It's so enjoyable because the Mishneh Berurah, Chabad Chaim, lived in the 1930s. But now when you have Dirshu, you have all the Piskei Halachas. From Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, and Rabbi Moshe, and all those until our day. It's fascinating. Maybe we have to make a Seder and Halacha if we don't have one. And I'll tell you something else. What Rav Palm writes in the Chelek of what Torah is, it's not enough just to learn. You have to become a mashpia. There are thousands and thousands of people our age and young kids that know nothing about Torah. V'chol mashi yochol lahefitz yoseh me'or ha-Torah, ayidei zeh yikarev yoseh ha-ge'ula. The more you can bring kids into yeshivas. I had no idea that Rabbi Bamberg is going to talk about Chazak, but that's what I was going to talk about. Support Chazak. As he mentioned, over 500 Russian kids, 500 Russian children were taken out of public school. And today I have a dear friend, Duvi Honig, in Lakewood. He told me there was a lady there who told him, I don't know where she gets her statistics, I have to check it out, but she claimed, a Russian woman in Lakewood, there are 1.6 million Russian kids in public school in the tri-state area. You know what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once told Rabbi Katzin, who's the head of Sinai Academy? He said, our door, what we are going to be asked after Meir Achmev asked him is, what did you do for the Russian kids? How did you let them fall by the wayside? The Bukharians and all those who come from Tashkent, all those. How dare we let them in public school? Now, some of us are not necessarily good in Kirov, so support Chazak. Make sure that Yaniv and his brother Elon and all these great tzaddikim, that they're able to bring not 500, they're able to bring 1,000. It's a wonderful woman sitting right there, Susie Garber. She has a wonderful organization. I spoke in her house. What is it called? Special Jew, Our Jewish Children? Do you know how much money that tzaddikis and her husband raise to pay tuitions for these children? Yaniv just gets them out, but the Garbers, they're the ones raising money. Help them. That's what the Eibishter wants to see. And Rapham is telling us it's not only our Torah. It's the Kirov of Torah. And finally, I've spoken about this many times. The Chofetz Chaim says that every person cannot go to sleep at night. Every day you have to do a chesed, and every day you have to learn something. And I believe that tonight we should start a little notebook, a spiral. And you could write it, L'zecha Nishmas, those 11 stars. Every day write down one chesed that you did for somebody else. Even if you did 10, don't write down 10. Because certain days you won't do 10 and you'll feel bad. Just write down one. Don't go to sleep until you write down a chesed that you did for somebody else. And I'm not talking a wife for a husband. That you got to do if you know what's good for you. Just giving advice to all the bachrim that are not married yet. But I just want to tell you in all seriousness, not one day should go through your life without doing a chesed for someone else. And so I just want to end just with this magnificent story of Chesed, Torah, Kirov. It's one of the greatest stories that I ever heard. And of course, I'm writing it up. Mitzvah Shem, it'll come out soon. An unbelievable story that I just heard a few weeks ago. It's a wonderful, wonderful fellow. His name is Avram Ruvain Lokich. He learned in Yeshiva Shah Torah here many years ago in Queens, in Kew Gardens. Today he's in the Boston area, and he has a Kirov organization called Ma'or. And what he does, he goes to the Boston University and the other colleges in that area, and he tries to be Makarev. And he has classes and seminars and the trips to Eretz Yisrael. And he told me about this kid, because he couldn't say his name, so let's call him Brian. He was working on this kid, Brian, in 2009, trying to be Makarev him. The guy was not interested in tefillin, not in Shabbos, not in Kashrus, nothing. He couldn't budge him. He sent him to Eretz Yisrael with a whole group. Gone at Gehofen. Nothing. In 2011, he decided he's going to send him again. He didn't give up. And this time, Rabbi Lokich went along. And they learned in Harnof, in a yeshiva, in the morning. They had some classes. And then they traveled many other different places. And of course, with the classes and with the excursions that they went, and with Rabbi Lokich being there, the kid came back. And he said to Rabbi Lokich, okay, I'm ready. You're ready? One thing. That's all. One thing I'm going to do. One thing. But don't bother me about anything. I just want to do one thing. So Rabbi Lokich told me, he thought for sure the kid is, like most Balei Tshuva. When they start, I won't use a cell phone on Shabbos. I won't eat any tray for meat anymore. This kid decides he's going to wear tzitzis. Now Rabbi Lokich said, wasn't going to ask him, why do you pick tzitzis of all the things you pick? A tzitzis. But okay, listen, if he's doing that, fine. Alavai. Good. Starts wearing tzitzis. This was, they came back at the end of June 2011. In August, this kid goes back to his mother in Utica, New York, upstate New York. His mother's not from. And Tisha B'Av is coming. So he says to his mother, Ma, I want to go to the Orthodox synagogue. I want to be at the Tisha B'Av program in the Orthodox synagogue. She said, okay, I'll drive you. She drives him to the Tisha B'Av on Tisha B'Av, and they come into this shul, this Orthodox shul in Utica, and as they walk in, there's a big plaque. And on the plaque is his grandfather's name. He can't believe it. The grandfather was honored by this shul. He says, Ma, you never told me this. Your dad was involved in the Orthodox shul? She said, yeah, I left it. I went to Reform. So I never thought to tell you. I didn't think it was important. And he's standing there, and he wants to read about his grandfather. And an old man comes by, and he says, excuse me, sir, you know that man that's on the plaque? He said, what do you mean that was my grandfather? He said, well, he was such a special person. He said, what do you mean, why was he special? What did he do? He said, he made sure that every kid in this shul wore tzitzis. And any kid that wore tzitzis, he gave money. And the kids would come in, they would pick up their shirts, and they showed him they were wearing tzitzis. And when this kid heard that, he burst into tears. How did that happen? How did he pick tzitzis? He had no idea whatsoever. He had no idea whatsoever that his grandfather had an netiyah to the mitzvah of tzitzis. And you know something? He cried throughout that whole Tisha B'Av. And eventually he became an Erlich HaBal Tshuva. That was the thing that turned it around. And I want to tell you a medrash, how this happened. The medrash is in Shmois Rabbah, Perik Dalad Ois Beis. Take a look at it. It tells us, Yisrael saved Moshe Rabbeinu. He protected Moshe Rabbeinu from Parai. So many, many, many generations later, his descendant, Yisrael's descendant, Sisra, his descendant Yael killed Sisra. Why? Listen to this. Mikana talamed. Misha kibel al atzmoy lasayis mitzvah. If somebody's makabel upon himself to do a mitzvah, ein oisa mitzvah poisekas mebeisai. That mitzvah becomes part of your DNA. And it's not going to stop even in the future generations. So this grandfather in Utica, he had that love of that mitzvah of tzitzis. It continued in the generations later. Tonight, as I said before, it's not a response to Pittsburgh. As Rabbi Bamberger Shlita mentioned, it could have happened any place. Our hearts go out to these people. They should have a lichtiga gan eden. They are 11 stars that died on Kiddush Hashem. They'll be remembered forever. And all those that were wounded should have a refuah shleima. But our response is not to Pittsburgh. It's a response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed such a horrible thing to happen. And if he allowed such a thing to happen to bring us pain, we owe him the response. Why? Avinu Shebashamayim. Why did you do that to us? Obviously, you're demanding something from us. And perhaps, he's demanding tztoka tatzel mimavas. Let's be more careful how we give out tztoka and meiser, how we feel about our money. Let's be more careful in our Torah and our gemilas chasodim. And if we increase that, as Rapam says, that will bring us closer to the Geula and end the pain in Klal Yisrael. May it happen in our day.